What's going on, everybody? It's be your boy
DJ Anonymous.
DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast. And I have a very, very special guest on the show today. I have Bobby Hacker, co-founder of All 22 Premium Football Fantasy. How are you doing today?
I'm good, John. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Before we get into the podcast and the questions and the conversation, can you give like a little introduction, like introduce yourself to the fans?
Yeah. So my name, like John said, is Bobby Hacker. I'm a co-founder of All 22 Premium Fantasy Football. We're powered by somebody called Pro Football Focus. Mm-hmm. For those who are unfamiliar with Pro Football Focus or PFF, what they do is they grade football players on every play, every snap of every game. So instead of seeing traditional statistics, PFF makes a grade for each player, and we use that grade in our fantasy football game instead of statistics.
Yeah, because I know, because I'm a football nerd, so
and they yeah, got it. Exactly. You got me one.
And they just instilled it in the Madden video game, so that's really cool. But before we talk about, you know, your career and everything that you're doing, especially with All 22, what made you want to get into this, like into this field?
Yeah, sure. So there's two things, right? So it's funny you just mentioned Madden, right? Mm-hmm. So I was a big Madden guy. Me and my two other co-founders are big Madden guys. Right. We felt like there was really no platform out there that really replicated that franchise mode, if you're familiar with that, mm-hmm. where you can start from scratch and draft the players that you want, build your offensive line and stuff like that. We felt like there was nothing out there that really replicated that type of game in the fantasy world. So we wanted to find a way to do that and truly test the user's ability to spot talent on the football field. Right. We feel like this game does that.
Yeah, because When I was looking at your introduction, I just started doing fantasy football when I just started for probably like 7-8 years. And one of the things that me and my, you know, my brothers, I like to say my brothers because we've been doing it for so long, they don't really count, you know, offensive linemen. Like, you got a Quentin Nelson, you know, or even back in the day, a Jeff Saturday, you know. Like, you know, sometimes we want to know, like if they had this many pancakes or they didn't allow them as much sacks, like, how many points will we would have had, you know? Like, right. And with y'all platform, y'all already go in depth with it. So my question is, like, what was it challenging at first to do this? Because it's very different.
Yeah, definitely very challenging. We've been doing this since 2015, so mm-hmm. was that 7 years? Definitely was not easy to get to this point. We had to continuously knock on Pro Football Focus's door to get mm-hmm. them to allow us to use the grades to feed in our game. But they came around to the concept and gave us the green light within the last 2 years.
Okay.
And you mentioned the offensive line. So I'm a pretty big Giants fan. I'm calling you up from New York.
Okay, Giants. That's the only New York team I like. I'm from Miami, so okay. When y'all beat the Patriots twice, y'all become one of my favorite teams.
So I grew up in a time when we actually had a really good offensive line. We were mm-hmm. a dominant offensive line. And then we saw that sort of turn after, you know, 2012 and after that. Mm-hmm. So realizing how important that group is, and seeing that it had no place in the game, we just felt like that was wrong.
Yeah, it's very wrong. It's one of the most, I played football in high school, so, and I remember I played D tackle, and nice. Some of our old linemen got hurt, so I had to pretty much start an old line during practice. I didn't want to do it during the game. And it's a lot, like, they have to think from the center, because people got to understand the center is literally like the second quarterback. Then you got the guards, and you got the left and right tackles, and sometimes the tight end. And it's just so much different from being on a defensive line. Like defensive line, I'm just getting the calls from the linebacker, which is getting the calls from the safety. So I'm not really doing too much communication, but as the old lineman, it's like it's one unit really. Like,
right?
They gotta like break down like the whole field pretty much, especially the center. The center, you know, the quarterback called a call, but the center see the linebacker about the blitz or even the safety or corner blitz, like they have to call that out. And I give so much respect to the old lineman.
I do too. I played quarterback in high school, and some of my offensive linemen, I'm not the biggest dude, and some of my offensive linemen were the same size as me. So you definitely realize the importance when you're on your back the whole time. But, you know, you talk about being a defensive tackle too, mm-hmm. which also has importance in this game that goes hidden on the stat sheet, which is why we don't use the stat sheet. Mm-hmm. So how many times when you're playing defensive tackle and you're pressuring the quarterback and impacting the play, but you're not necessarily getting the sack. So our game accounts for all of that. So if there are defensive tackles in the games that are being disruptive, but maybe not, you know, accruing sacks or tackles, mm-hmm. that's still showing up in our game.
Yeah, man, because I actually like that because, you know, we all watched the Super Bowl, and Aaron Donald at the beginning of the game, he was getting triple teamed, but he was still applying pressure, you know, to Joe. And it is crazy. Like, you know, they want to see all the pretty stuff. They want to see the sacks. They want to see the fumble and the fumble, forced fumble and the fumble recovery and everything. But that rushing the quarterback, to me, that counts. So, and y'all platform, like, do y'all go by a point system, of course, right?
Absolutely. So our point system is twofold. So we have one aspect of it that is the PFF grade, mm-hmm. right? But now, you talk about being a center, right? So the center on a football team gets paid a lot differently than his quarterback.
Right.
So what we said was they're getting paid differently because they have very different impacts on the outcome of the game. So the PFF grade accounts for the quality of each player's play, mm-hmm. and then the weighted system that we came up with accounts for the impact each position has on the outcome of the game.
Right. Yeah, because that's like, I just like, all right, so I'm going to tell my story about when I first started playing fantasy football, because it was four of us at one time. At one point, it was four. Then we grew to like six, then eight, then 10, and 12. Sure. And one of the things that we was talking about was, you know, because I think PPR just started happening, right? Like the pass per catch. I mean, pass per
points per reception.
Yeah, yep. Per point reception. Yes, I think that just started not too long ago, and we were saying like, you know, you have a receiver like Julian Edelman. He's not the prettiest person in the world, but all them 10 to 12 to 15 catches in them type of leagues are very like effective. And I just tried it this past season, like having a Braxton Berrios, for example, like him just, you know, just getting the ball 10, 12 times, you know, a game, you know, he ended up having about, you know, 20, 25 points on some weeks. So for y'all platform, it's pretty much the same as far as like how do y'all grade the O-line? Do y'all grade them by like, you know, protection, pancakes? Like, how you grade them?
So want to make it clear that All 22, the company that I'm part of, is separate from Pro Football Focus, who okay. handles the grading. So I don't want to dive too deep into how they grade, but that is something that if you go on the PFF's website, they will explain exactly how they grade each position and what factors go into it. But it is all encompassing. It is a really good view of what's taken into account for each position. But the one thing that you mentioned, right, is mm-hmm. is PPR, and everybody always has like a tweak for fantasy football. You can join 10 different leagues and they'll have 10 different scoring systems. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very clear sign that something's not right. Right. So that's what me, Chris, and Ray, that's what we were trying to solve for.
Okay, yes. And then how can people join?
So you can join at all-22.com and join our wait list right now. The next couple of weeks after the NFL draft, we're going to launch the site so that you can start to sign up for your subscription, create your leagues with all your friends. So if your friends, your group of 12 people that you play fantasy football with, if you want to try this out, you can move over and start that league in the next couple of weeks there.
Okay. Real quick, you talked about growing up that you was playing Madden growing up, and and you was the type, you was the guy that played, you know, franchise, because I was the same too. Like I was like, one day I want to be a GM, or I want to own the team one day. Like, how, like, did you ever play like franchise mode on all Madden before?
I've been playing franchise mode in Madden since they had it. I get Madden every year. And you know what's funny is I feel like I get burned every year too, because it's the same game.
Yeah.
Franchise mode is by far the best mode in the game, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Always has been, but they keep neglecting it. All they do is update the rosters. They give you something weird, like a weird game mode, like the NFL Street type thing that they did. They gotta fix franchise mode. We gotta get that hashtag going again on Twitter.
Yeah, we got to, because one thing I did like about franchise this year was that they kind of went in depth in terms of like the draft, like as far as like and the coordinators. But I think that a lot of people we said like behind you know barbershop conversations, but. You know, you remember NFL, what, I think 2K, was it NFL 2K?
2K5, the ESPN one?
Yeah, the ESPN one. And then it was another one back in the day.
There's NFL Fever, I used to like that one too.
Like, for a gamer, for a Madden fan, and you know, Madden, you know, that's the GOAT of the GOATs, but do you think that... like the monopoly, like do you think that kind of hurt the game? Like, cause it's not really that much competition right now, as far as like other like NFL games.
Absolutely. I think they're incentivized by what is that, Ultimate Team?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's. I don't play Ultimate Team, so I don't know 100% how it works. But it seems like they have like these in-game purchases and buy-ups, and I think that has proven to be profitable for Madden, and that's why they're incentivized to. Keep improving that aspect of the game and not so much franchise mode.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that aspect to it. So I think that hurts a little bit. Definitely not having competition hurts. But then you look at a game like MLB The Show, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And they don't have competition either. Yet their game gets much, much better every year. So tying this back to like All-22 also, right? So nobody else has a grade-based fantasy football game. And we strive to not be like those games that just because they don't have a direct competition, you know, they're not improving. We're not going to do that. We have, you know, this a 5-year plan jam packed with future features that we want to, you know, keep improving and keep giving our users a better game, better experience.
Okay, and then speaking, bringing that back up again, because it was another question I want to ask you, and for your fellow co-founders. Was I nervous getting to this, you know, in this industry where you have all these other like fantasy platforms, or was y'all already knew that y'all platform was already going to be different?
I don't know if we were nervous. I think you know, certainly presenting this game to Pro Football Focus, we were a little nervous. But getting into the industry, we were just excited, man. I mean. It's one of those things where you have to create your own opportunity, and I feel like we did that. We really had no other choice.
Okay. And then you also said that you was a Giants fan growing up.
Yeah, I am. Yep.
How was it? You know, because for me, you know, I'm from Miami, and we don't have we're a big city, but we're not like LA and New York. Of course, y'all have. Two of the same team, like two teams in each sport, pretty much. So, how was that growing up? You know, being a Giants fan, and then I know you had a cousin or somebody that was a Jets fan. Like, how was that growing up?
So even worse than being a Jets fan, my cousins were Cowboys fans. and so was my co-founder, Ray, actually. It's certainly different. I mean, I actually went to Florida Atlantic University. It's somewhat in your area.
You went to FAU?
I did go to FAU.
I went to FIU. I'm a Golden Panther.
Oh, no. We got to hang up this call right now. We're done, dude. I know in that area there's a lot of transplants, right? So mm-hmm. while in South Florida, you could be a Steelers fan. You could be mm-hmm. a Rams fan. It's weird, right?
Because mm-hmm.
Not everybody's a native Floridian. Mm-hmm. In this area, everybody's usually a native Northeasterner. So, yeah, it is a lot of either your Jets or your Giants. I think at this point, right, we've been so bad for so long, both teams. There's almost like, we're just company. We're keeping each other company in misery. So it's almost like, hey, look, New York football is good for football. New York being good at football is good for the sport, right?
Yes, it is.
So I honestly, I kind of pull for the Jets. I think one of us got to climb out of this because I think, ahead of being a Giants fan, I'm a football fan.
Right.
So I think what's good for the sport is what I pull for. And if it's the Jets, if it's the Giants being good, that's what I want.
So now we're speaking, the teams and the building. We got the draft coming up next week. What are your expectations? Like, what do you think the Giants need so far, like, as far as, like drafting-wise?
Yeah, so that offensive line, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's been bad. We had the one bright spot in Andrew Thomas. Mark Lewinsky was a great signing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need that other bookend tackle, and I don't think you mess around. I think you do that, in my opinion, at 5. But I could see them doing it at 5 or 7. Giants don't have a great cap situation. So I definitely see them trading back one of those picks because you certainly don't want to pay 2 top 10 picks this year. I think you look at a quarterback needy team like Pittsburgh who wants an athletic quarterback. You're not going to sell me on the fact that they're sold on Trubisky being their quarterback in the future. So I could see Pittsburgh, they have the draft capital to move up. I could see them moving up through one of those Giants picks to get ahead of a team like Seattle, to get ahead of a team like Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and both teams working out in a trade like that.
Yeah, because like I said, I love football, and I've been paying attention to the Giants, and I love Danny Dimes. Like he's mobile. To me, he has a great enough arm so that. When you don't have no O-line, like we seen it when Eli was retiring, like the later years, when you don't have no O-line, you can't really do much. And then Saquon, he could do so much. Like, so, yeah, I agree. Like, I feel like y'all need to build up the line because y'all have pretty much everything else. maybe draft another another defensive back or whatnot. But it's really y'all got the interior needs to blossom even more because y'all have great potential, especially in that NFC East. we see it all the time in NFC East. I don't like to say the least because every team is good. Like I look at Washington, they good. Of course, the Cowboys. I despise the Cowboys too because growing up. People got to realize too that even a lot of the Miami natives, because the Dolphins they've been established since like the 60s, but majority of the my family that I know, like they grew up Cowboys fan because the Cowboys been there like forever, so it's like you see two generations, one's a Dolphin fan, another a Cowboys fan, you be like wow, but. I see the Giants doing that though.
Two things you just said that earned a lot of respect, a lot of points in my book, a lot of respect in my is what you just said about the Cowboys, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of that fan base came from like the 70s when they were pretty good, the mm-hmm. 90s when they were pretty good. My co-founder Ray is a 90s kid, so he's a fair weather fan. Not so much fair weather the last 20 years or so, but. So that I definitely I agree with. And the other thing was you come into the defense of Eli and Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, there's a big portion of the fan base that put the blame on those two guys, and I think those are people that, you know, they're not really taking a holistic view of the team. So yeah, you mentioned loving Danny Dimes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to love Danny Dimes, but this offensive line doesn't give us an opportunity to fall in love with this guy.
And I think, you know, what's crazy, we in the same, you know, position, like even with Tua. Personally, did I want Tua in the draft when we drafted him? No. But I told people, I said, you know, with someone like quarterbacks like Tua, quarterbacks like Daniel Dimes, good quarterbacks, but they need to have a great supporting cast. So they got to start from the old linemen on out, and they could blossom. Like we see Troy Aikman, he had everything, and he's a Hall of Famer. And you know, to this day, some people say, well, you know, Troy Aikman had everything. I said, listen, Troy Aikman was a good to great quarterback that when he actually got his weapons, he delivered, and I got to give him that respect. You know, growing up, I didn't really see – I was born in 92, so I didn't really see Dan Marino like that. But when I was looking at highlights, I'm like, Dan Marino was the man, but he had no defense.
Right.
So, right. You know, in this day and era, some quarterbacks, you know, you look at – you got to say they good. They just need – they need it. They need to have a full roster of a good supporting cast with good to I want to say above to good to almost great, you know, supporting cast.
You definitely need that foundation in place before you take your quarterback, and I completely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what happened with Dak Prescott.
Right.
That offensive line was unreal by the time he took over, and that's the right way to do it. That offensive line was unreal by the time they got Ezekiel Elliott. That's when you pick a running back that high. That's when you bring in a rookie quarterback, when you have that foundation set. I think the Giants did it backwards. They got their quarterback, and now they're building the offensive line. They got their running back, and now they're building the offensive line. That's completely wrong. Completely wrong. And I think you're seeing, you know, I think you're seeing the results of this. And to go to Tua, right? I completely agree with you. I mean, I like Tua. I'm like a Tua Tagovailoa apologist. But you look at his offensive line, it's worse than the Giants.
Yeah, way worse.
And that's bad. That's really bad. So I don't think he's been given a fair chance. Coaching change, in my opinion, wasn't the right thing to do. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
As far as what the
as Flores getting fired.
I was hurt because Flores was I see what he was doing. Like, he was building up a culture. I heard stories about, like, some of the players wasn't really agreeing with him or whatnot. It wasn't too much of a division, you know, within the organization. I think the main thing that what happened was the head coach and the GM wasn't looking eye to eye. And like when he got fired, when he got let go, we was all shocked. Like that was the next day. Like I think that was the following day when they beat the Patriots. And it's been a while since we beat the Patriots twice in a season. And do I like McDaniels? Yeah, I feel like he would bring more out of Tua. But I just think the whole Browns Flores situation was kind of unfair, and all this other stuff that was going on about Deshaun and Brady and all that. I don't know, but we'll see. We still hurting because of that. But then when you see that we getting Tyreek Hill, we getting we got Armstead, we building up the team, and then, you know, we never know. We may make another splash. You know, not a lot of people. We're not gonna forget about it, but we're gonna be like, "Hey, let's see what Mike McDaniels. Let's see what this whole new era is doing." But I just feel like with that situation was unfair.
I like McDaniel. Seeing my team struggle to find a coach that can create a winning culture, mm-hmm. I think that's something that you shouldn't take for granted. And I feel like by firing Flores, it kind of signified that Miami does take that for granted. Mm-hmm. So I really hated to see him go. Honestly, I felt like he won in spite of that roster, not because of that roster. So if anybody was going to be showing the door, I thought it should have been Chris Greer.
Yes. Yes, because I'm telling you, I'm just speaking for a Dolphin fan, because it's every fan base is a division. I know in the Giant, circumstances division right now with Danny Dimes and Saquon and all them right now. I'm gonna speak my opinion on that. Chris Greer, the last few years, He had some good picks, like Holland, the safety from Oregon, that was a great pick. Jalen Phillips was a great pick, but I also feel like some of that had to deal with, with Brian Flores. And I just think that this offseason kind of saved Chris Greer, because, the problem, we don't really hate Chris Greer down here. We just don't, he's too concerned, like he's too safe. Like, we look at like all these GMs across the league, because we have a team that could potentially go on a run in the next 2 to 3 years. We have a defense, a young core, a defense. So you got to take you got to take advantage of that. And down here, we just like, man, Chris Greer, like, you got to go, man, because like you don't make the right decisions at the time, and then like you. When something is there, you don't go full throttle. You get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it was. I don't know. Like, Chris Greer.
Go ahead, John.
No. I just think like that whole situation was just like with him. It was. I don't know. I get mad sometimes talking about it. Like, this offseason, he saved himself with the Tyreek Hill. Acquisition, and plus with the other acquisitions, but you're right. We had a choice. Chris Greer should have just left. Flores.
Yeah, he's certainly making moves as if he's feeling some pressure. Yeah, right? And I think even Giants fans saw that last year with Dave Gettleman. Just have to be careful, because GMs that do that often put you in a bad position in the near future, that the 2 to 3 years following. When they do leave,
right?
I think it's natural. So you mentioned getting mad about how your Chris Greer's been pretty conservative lately. Mm-hmm. I think it's natural for every fan base to look at the Rams and how the Rams have built up their team and how aggressive they've been, and say, hey, why aren't we doing this? Why can't we build our team like this? And I think it's certainly come at the expense of their draft picks. And we'll see if this is sustainable. But you can't help but look and see, can my team do some version of that and be competitive this year?
Yes, because I'm glad you said that about the Rams, because you got to think about it though. Because I had to sit back one day, because I went to school for sports, and I forgot what class I took. I think it was sports law, and we were just talking about like. It was just random. We was talking about how like the draft and like football, basketball, baseball, hockey, how each pick is important, the value of the pick, right?
Right.
And even in football, I know versus basketball, football is kind of the same. Like, in the first, I want to say the first round, maybe like pick one to maybe 20, you could find you a potential like franchise player. It don't matter if it's a quarterback, linebacker, running back, like O-lineman, a D-lineman, like something, someone that's like a cornerstone for that franchise. But then it gets tricky, because you have Tom Brady's of the world, you have the A-B's of the world, the Richard Sherman's of the world, where you get these four, fifth, sixth late round picks, and they turn into. But it also goes with development too. At the end of the day, too. So it's like you got to do both. But still, like you, it's like it's the first round. Is like the first round, second round picks. Are they really worth it at the end of the day? Especially if you have a team that's already built. Y'all just need a couple more pieces. Like when they got Jalen Ramsey. They gave out the whole, I think it was two first round picks. Right. They gave to Jacksonville, and I'm like, for me, I'm like, okay, y'all had, that's one piece I missed. Then you look at the situation with Jared Goff. You know, I'm not gonna say Jared Goff is a bad quarterback. I just think that Jared Goff, throughout his rest of his career, he may end up being like a Alex Smith or somebody that's like. He has, if you just build a good team around him, he could just, he could potentially take it out to a playoffs like every other year.
Right. But, he might not win you every game. But yeah. He's not going to lose you many games.
Exactly. Because Jared Goff is like a Teddy to me. Teddy is like, he's not a superstar quarterback. He's not a franchise quarterback, but he would not lose. He'll win. He could win you some games. He could lose you some games, but he's not gonna be the reason why you lose the game, because he's not gonna make the same mistakes, or he's not gonna make that many mistakes. But exactly. You know, me and my boys, we talk about all the time that dude Matthew Stafford. Like if you look at his stats, it goes in line, you know, with Drew Brees. Like Matthew Stafford, if he continue to go on this rate. The next 3 to 4 to 5 years, he's going to break a lot of people's records. But people don't realize it because he was in Detroit, you know. And people talk about, oh, but he had Calvin Johnson and everything. But you got to understand, you got to have a whole team around you to, like, take that to the next level. So Stafford finally on a team that got all the weapons that he needed. He got an O-line, because he didn't really have an O-line like that either back, you know, in Detroit. The running game was terrible. The defense was in Detroit, but now he has an actual team now, and you've seen it first year, go and win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, if you have all these picks, like we said, like because we kept saying the whole 2 to 3 years, Chris Greer, you have all these picks, do something. We got the cap salary. Do something. Like, stop being like the Marlins and stuff where you got all these picks and you got all these young prospects. And if you could get a couple pieces, like, just do it. Stop being timid, you know? So I guess he finally listened. So.
Some teams, and it drives me crazy, and me, Chris, and Ray, we talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. Seems like some teams are just content with, hey, let's just be a good team. You know, as long as we're winning 9 games a year, whatever it is, we're happy. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, being content like that, just seeing teams like that just drives me crazy. So I really respect what the Rams do, and happy for Stafford that he's a part of that.
Yeah, me too. Cause I'm glad he got his ring. Cause Stafford, I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan, but being that I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan, I see Stafford, you know, all the time, twice a year, and Stafford is a bad boy, you know, and it was time for him to finally get that success, and also exposure, because being in Detroit, they barely had, you know, national televised games and, like, you know, primetime games at that. So yeah, man. But
and you mentioned being a Rodgers guy. Mm-hmm. My other partner Chris is a Packers fan. He talks all the time about it's crazy that the Packers have had 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play and only, what is it, 2 Super Bowls to show for it? You know, one from Favre, one from Rodgers. And I think it's a damn shame that each of those guys are, at least Rodgers only has one.
Yeah, and I'm and, you know, I I can't make no excuse for him this past playoffs because the writing was on the wall for him. Like the defense, my whole thing with because one of my best friend, he's a coach, he's a Brady fan, and I used to always tell him, I said, you know, Brady, he's the GOAT. Don't get me wrong, but he always had a top five, top ten defense. You know, football is a team sport. So the only I told him, and it's facts. The only quarterback who had a non-top 10, 15 defense that ever won a Super Bowl, which was kind of shocking to me because I always thought they had a good defense, but I guess it was a one of them defenses I forgot the name of the term. But Peyton Manning, I think it was that 07 Colts team, he was the only one who won the Super Bowl with a non-top 5, top 10, top 15 defense. But I think with Green Bay over the years, they kind of tried Aaron Rodgers. You have a, you know, and don't no disrespect to Brett Favre because I love Brett Favre too. You know, I remember watching Brett Favre. That man was a gunslinger, but Aaron Rodgers, you have a man that literally changed the game, you know, the game of football, like, to a whole nother level. Like, Dan Marino did it, you know, Joe Montana and them did it, but Dan Marino was the one who changed the game that showed quarterbacks, hey, you could throw the ball down the field. Aaron Rodgers took that to a whole nother level, like, you see these kids now, they throwing the ball on the run, and it's like, that's Aaron Rodgers. But the thing is, Aaron Rodgers didn't have a great supporting cast, like, just overall. Like, I think people got to realize when he won that Super Bowl, and even the second year when they almost went, but it was injuries, he had a good defense, you know?
Yeah.
And like, the media, you know, they jump him because, you know, they say, oh, he's a crybaby and stuff, and he doing all this and that. He's acting like Brett Favre. No, Aaron Rodgers' situation. He said, listen, y'all need to get me some help. You know, and I don't know. Green Bay, you know, Green Bay one of them franchises that's kind of like cheap in a way, like. Like they don't really pay their players like the bank.
They're a little weird. It's weird when you see, you know, you have a quarterback like Rodgers, yet you're wasting not properly using that first round pick and getting a backup quarterback. That's weird. And then in a deep receiver draft, you're drafting running backs in the second round. Makes no sense to me. Rodgers has this short window left. Mm-hmm. Get the most out of it he possibly can. I don't blame him for being angry.
Yeah, and people were saying that, you know, he's selfish because he got his money. He why he don't do what Brady did with the money and stuff? I said, listen, first of all, Brady was in an organization where he knew. First of all, he has the greatest coach ever, even coach the game, and they had a whole game plan. You know, they built around Brady, and when Brady, people don't realize Brady, when Brady actually wanted more weapons, what did Bill do? He got him Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and like people got to people these well, I'm, I want to say kids, but like the I want to call the casual fans. Davante Adams was drafted by Green Bay. That was one of the few like great pickups that Green Bay did in the draft.
He was the ninth drafted receiver that year too.
Yeah, so unreal. So, and I want to see what my boy do out A-Rod. You know, I want him to, you know, he with Derek Carr now. I want him to do good and everything. But I also want to, you know, let people know, like, man. Like, Aaron Rodgers is that dude. Like, Peyton Manning back in the day. You know, Peyton had, you know, all his, you know, credits and stuff. But when you look back at his career, like, besides, I want to say Harrison, you know, Peyton made a lot of, like, great players.
Like, I will argue this point till I'm blue in the face. Mm-hmm. And Chris and Ray and all my friends already know this. But I think Peyton Manning's the greatest quarterback of all time. And I say it all the time. I get the Brady stuff. Mm-hmm. I think Brady absolutely has, and it's a fact that he's had the greatest career of all time. Mm-hmm. I just think that Manning is the greatest player of all time.
No, I'm sorry. Keep going. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's an argument that I'll have until I'm blue in the face, and I'll die on that one. I'll say that until I'm the day I die.
No, I don't disagree with you at all, because actually I was a Peyton guy before Aaron Rodgers, like, just, you know, came out and did his thing.
Pure talent. I think Aaron Rodgers is probably the greatest quarterback we've ever seen from pure talent.
Yes.
Right. His ability to move, right? Like, Peyton Manning wasn't the most athletic guy, you know. Pretty different, but pure talent wise, tough to rival Aaron Rodgers.
But the thing with Peyton Manning is, and I agree with you, is that Peyton, like, if you go on YouTube, and I have a nephew, he's 14, 15, right now. He plays quarterback.
Nice.
I tell him, you know, look at the Patrick Mahomes, you know, look at the quarterbacks in your era, but also look at the Peyton Mannings, the Drew Brees, but really Peyton Manning. I tell him whenever I talk to him, I said, listen, look how he controls the offense. The man was a coach on the field.
he really was. Like, they would say that, like, he'd run practices before the practice with no coaches present. He really was a coach on the field.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, the man would memorize, like, the whole, he literally memorized the whole playbook.
He's a genius, John. There's really no other way to put it, and I mean that literally. He's a genius.
And, like, let me ask you this question, because I still had this argument too. What if Manning had a coach like Bill? How many championships would they win?
You're getting me started here, John. This is exactly the debate that I have. I feel like they'd have as much hardware or more than what they've had with Brady.
Right.
That's the whole thing with me, right? Like, I'll argue that till the day I die.
No, I'm with you, though, because I'm like, all right, Brady, and I think, you know, it's psychology, because I think the main reason why I ain't like Brady at first, because he was in that Patriot uniform. You know, I'm a Dolphin fan. I always tell people all the time, if Brady was, like, to play for, like, the Chargers, or, I don't know, like, somebody random, like the Bengals, or somebody, like, random,
the Browns
or something, or San Fran, I'm like, you know, I think I like Brady, because right now, I like Brady's attitude now as a Buccaneer. Like, I vibe with him. I'm like, dang, I ain't never know Brady was like this. But
I love Tom Brady. Everything that I say about Peyton Manning is no disrespect.
Yeah.
To Tom Brady. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd be curious to see what his career looks like. I still think on one of those teams, he'd be a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I do think it becomes a little bit more difficult when you don't have, you know, two tackles on your team that are, you know, PFF's top five every year. You know, top five defense on the other side getting you the ball back every year. That would change things.
Thank you, because I tell my best friend this all the time. I said, bro, Brady in any other system, he will win a couple championships. He may have three. But yeah, you got to understand that system that Bill built for him, like at the beginning of his years, like, It's like having a cheat code. Like, Bill, he knows so much about defense that he'll tell his quarterbacks, like, hey, they about to do this and they about to do that.
Greatest coach of all time. Greatest coach of all time. Always have a good offensive line, always have a good defense, and then that consistency, right? For, what is it, 20 years with Tom Brady?
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. You see guys like Peyton Manning, who, you know, it's like a turnstile, and, you know, of head coaches that come through there. Front office changes all the time. I think it's, you kind of compare apples and oranges after a while.
Yeah, man, we had this conversation all day because this barbershop talk, I talk about this all the time. I said, Brady is like the Kareem of football. He's gonna be the most accomplished football player ever.
Greatest career of all time.
Yes. Absolutely. Like he's gonna have everything. 7 rings. How many MVPs he got? 3 or 4, right?
Yeah, something like that.
He got all these accolades, but like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like they look at LeBron and stuff with Jordan and everything, like, you know, Kareem got all this stuff, but like it's either LeBron or Jordan. I feel like in the future, it may be, you know, maybe a Mahomes and whoever, but yeah, that's, I don't know. We could talk about that all day. For all 22, where do you see yourselves where y'all see yourselves with the company 5 to 10 years from now?
Yeah, I think I talked about a little bit before about having like these future plans of all these new features that we want to add into the game.
Right.
And I think in those 5 to 10 years, we're going to see those, you know, sort of added in. So we talk about, you know, one of the big things that we talk about is if it happens in the NFL, it's going to happen in all 22, whether that's, you know, now or eventually. And one of those things is NFL contracts. Somehow, in that contract aspect of player management and team management, getting that into our games. That's going to be a big thing for us, you know, over that time span.
Okay.
But, you know, just to kind of reiterate, everything that we add to the game, again, is meant to replicate how the NFL works.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited. I signed up not too long ago on a waiting list. So I'll be waiting. One more question before we end the podcast. Who's in your top five? Like, who's your top five football players of all time?
All time. All top time. Five. Wow, that's a tough one. So obviously we just talked about the two. Peyton Manning number one, Tom Brady number two. Mm-hmm. Montana's got to be in that conversation, but let me get away from quarterbacks a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I got to say Lawrence Taylor.
Man.
Let's take out positional value. Lawrence Taylor could be the greatest football player that we've ever seen.
Ever lived, yeah.
And then the fifth one, I would say Jim Brown, absolutely.
So it's Brady, Peyton, LT. Who's the fourth one?
So we said, and I guess I'll put it back in order because I don't want you to say Brady first. It's very important to me. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Lawrence Taylor, Jim Brown.
Okay. That's a great top five. That's a great top five because I think Joe Montana don't really, and it's kind of weird because I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, he is 4-0 in the Super Bowl. And, you know, people got to understand that era, like, they look at his stats, because I think he only had, like, 30-something thousand yards, right, in the air. But people got to understand in that era, you know, it was different. Like, the defense was, like, you could do anything back in them days. Like, it was no such thing as, you know, letting go of the receiver at the 5 yards and whatnot. Like, it's, back in them days was different. Yes, he had Jerry, but...
Jerry also had him.
You know, when so you have any shout outs before we end the show?
I guess I'm gonna shout out my fiance Meg.
Okay. Congratulations.
My partner's a few times, so thank you for that, by the way. Shout out to my dad. He's the reason I'm a Giants fan, the reason I'm such a huge football nut. but yeah, that's it, man.
Man, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show again. We gotta talk about this again. We gotta have a conversation again. Hopefully next time it'll be more in person, and then, you know, have rest of the crew, you know, with you, and then we can just talk about all 22 and just football in general, because I love football.
Yeah, I definitely get that from you. This was a lot of fun. Would love to have you on our podcast at some time, at some point, the All 22 podcast. So,
oh yeah, of course. Just let me know, and I'm there.
Cool. That sounds great, John. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you. So, this be your boy DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast with Bobby Acker. It's Bobby Acker.
Acker.
Yep. Bobby Acker. And we out. Peace.